Hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, as ever, your host, David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Traces of a stone circle are discovered near Stonehenge. Blue Stonehenge is revealed, perhaps slightly earlier than was hoped for. Japan's Jomon sculptures are still a mystery, but still worth a visit at a new exhibition. And we report that visitors are now covering the Burren in Ireland with mini dolmens. The remains of the world's oldest human brain is found in Armenia, and while we're at on the oldest, we look at Japan's oldest stone tools. A prehistoric axe head is unearthed in India, and there is news on the completion of the Choirokoitai digs in Cyprus, for this year of course. Neolithic axe heads are also being found in Norwich, and this one is bound for a museum. And a Chilean family finds human remains in their backyard. Fortunately, they are millennia old. A Mesolithic village is found off the coast of the Isle of Wight, but it is under severe threat, and a network of 3,000-year-old canals is discovered in Arizona. So without further ado, let's get on with the news. Well, we have breaking news, or in fact, it shouldn't have been really breaking news. It should have come out in February. But anyway, the Daily Mail in the UK decided to go for it anyway. It's not even April the 1st. Archaeologists may have discovered Stonehenge's little sister, just a mile from the famous monument. The traces of a prehistoric stone circle discovered in secret over the summer are one of the most important finds of the decade. Some researchers have been calling it Bluehenge after the colour of the 27 giant Welsh stones it once incorporated, but are now, we hasten to add, missing. Otherwise it would have been a lot easier to find. The find is already challenging conventional wisdom about how Stonehenge was built and what it was used for. The recent discovery of the stone circle was put up around about 5,000 years ago, around the same time as work began on Stonehenge itself, and it appears to have been a miniature version of it. The two circles stood together for hundreds of years before Bluehenge was dismantled. Researchers believe its stones were used to enlarge Stonehenge during one of a number of redevelopments. Professor Tim Darville, Stonehenge expert at Bournemouth University, said that this adds to the richness of the story of Stonehenge. We thought we knew it all, but over the last few years we've discovered that something as familiar as Stonehenge is still a challenge to explore and understand. It wouldn't surprise me if there weren't actually more circles. All that remains of the 60-foot-wide Bluehenge are the holes for the 27 giant stones set on ramped mound. Set on a ramped mound. Chips of bluestone found in the holes appear to have been identical to the bluestones used in Stonehenge itself. The new find suggests that the creators of Stonehenge originally built two circles, one with 56 stones at Stonehenge and another with 27 at Bluehenge. Lovers of prehistoric sites will have to wait until February before the full details of this find are published. But until then, I can exclusively reveal that following on from Stonehenge and Woodhenge, it's only a matter of time before we have Strawhenge. No, only kidding. Dogu are the most remarkable products of Japan's Jomon period, the Neolithic era before the advent of rice cultivation, when the Japanese archipelago supported higher population densities than any other pre-agricultural society in the world. The Dogu are humanoid forms shaped in clay, large and small, both richly decorated and unadorned. Some 18,000 of them have been unearthed to date in Jomon period settlements, stretching from Kyushu north through Tohoku to Hokkaido. The oldest is nearly 10,000 years old, and the youngest a mere 2,300. Yet despite their advanced age, they're on the move. 67 dogu, loaned from collections across Japan, have taken up temporary residence in the British Museum in London for a new exhibition, The Power of Dogu. This is going to be happening in December, before they return home for 3 months' display at Tokyo National Museum. The Dogu are oddly hypnotic, a parade of beautiful, brutal and uncanny. It seems hard to believe that they could all represent a common phenomena, one of which archaeologists in 1882 first gave the name Dogu. The Japanese archipelago during the Jomon period was occupied by a large number of different groups of people or different societies. They probably spoke a number of different dialects and expressed themselves through a huge range of pottery styles. Over 400 local styles have so far been recognized to date. Indeed, Udogo are both an intensely local form of expression and also manifestly share an urge by the Neolithic people to represent the human form in clay. The British Museum exhibition is part of an ongoing debate in the field of Neolithic studies as the nature and purpose of early sculptural representations of the human form. The 1960s saw a proliferation of theories around the so-called mother goddess figures, often nicknamed Venuses. The Venus theory has declined in popularity in recent years, though, with scientists working on a hoard of 2,000 figures found at Çatalhöyük in Turkey, announcing last month a new hypothesis that the artifacts were not ritual objects at all, but simply toys. The function of the Dogu remains mysterious. Many were, like the Çatalhöyük figurines, everyday objects. The majority have been found broken, sometimes in heaps. If they were toys, what does that imply about the status of children, or indeed childhood in Jomon culture? Some Dogu were certainly given special treatment, placed alongside burials, or even enshrined in pits. Well, you can have your own thoughts about it if you go along to the Power of Dogu, ceramic figures from ancient Japan, which is running in the British Museum till the 22nd of November. Admission, by the way, is free. Then, if you want to fire across the world, you can go to the Tokyo National Museum from the 15th of December to the 21st of February and see them there. The 5,000-year-old Polnabrone Dolmen is an impressive sight, one of the most recognisable megalithic tombs in Ireland and a highlight of any trip to the world-famous Burren. It's understandable that visitors might want to create their own version of the ancient portal tomb, but those tourists were accused of unwittingly engaging in vandalism by erecting hundreds of mini-dolmens across the protected landscape. The trend began a decade ago, but has recently re-emerged. 2 miles from the Polnabrone Dolmen, the project manager with the Burren Connect project, Carol Gleason, observed hundreds of mini-dolmens inside a roadside wall. The tourists erecting the dolmens are engaging in a form of vandalism, she says. This is a wonderful ecosystem, and the erection of these dolmens is like scribbling on a masterpiece. Ms. Gleason added that the unique and vulnerable habitats are being destroyed by visitors when they illegally remove protected limestone pavement to build the dolmen. It's usually only recently that the erection of the dolmens has become a fad, she says. There is no malicious intent on the part of the tourists, but it is just coming from a lack of knowledge. Recently, schoolchildren joined in a project to dismantle hundreds of these mini dolmens, which could be seen inside a field at the site overlooking Ballyvaughan, 2 miles from the Polnabrone Dolmen. John Hare, who was in charge of the children from Liz Dunvarna School, said that the tourists are so impressed by the real dolmen that they want to recreate their own, though it would be better if they just looked. An Armenian-American-Irish archaeological expedition claims to have found the remains of the world's oldest human brain, estimated to be over 5,000 years old. The discovery was made recently in a cave in southeastern Armenia. An analysis performed by the Keck Carbon Cycle Accelerator Mass Spectrometer Laboratory at the University of California confirmed that one of the 3 human skulls found at the site contained particles of a human brain dating to around the first quarter of the 4th millennium BCE. The preliminary results of the laboratory analysis prove that this is the oldest of the human brains so far discovered in the world, so says Dr. Boris Gasparian, one of the expedition's leaders and an archaeologist from the National Academy of Sciences Institute of Archaeology and Ethnology at Yerevan. In late 2008, researchers in the United Kingdom found a 2,000-year-old human brain, at the time believed to rank among the world's oldest. The team in Armenia comprised of 26 specialists from Ireland, the United States, and Armenia. They've been excavating the 3-chamber cave where the brain was found since 2007. The site overlooking the Arpa River near the town of Areni is believed to date mostly to the late Chalcolithic period, or the early Bronze Age, around 6 to 5,000 years ago. It also contains evidence of elaborate burial rituals and agricultural practices. The skull with the brain was found in a chamber that contained 3 buried ceramic vessels containing the skulls of 3 women about 11 to 16 years old. The cave's damp climate helped preserve red and white blood cells in the brain remains. It's a unique first-hand source of information about the genetic code of the people who inhabited this place. It's still being determined from what part of the brain the fragment comes. Microscopic analysis revealed blood vessels and traces of brain hemorrhage, perhaps caused by a blow to the head. Next to one of the three skulls, the team also found four adult femoral shafts, midsections of the thigh bone. They may have played a role in the ritual. Interestingly, some of them were not just burned, but rather evenly roasted from all sides, which may directly point to a ceremonial practice. The excavation has also unearthed another potential record setter. Vessels, pots, grape seeds and grapevine shoots, which, according to the archaeologists, could classify the site as one of the world's oldest wineries. Winemaking with wild grapes is believed to have gotten its start in Georgia, Armenia's neighbour to the north, and in Iran, which is not far from the Areni 1 site, between 6000 BCE and 5000 BCE. Well, staying on the who has the oldest, we now move to Japan, where 20 stone tools, believed to be the oldest discovered in Japan so far, have been excavated from a mid-Paleolithic period geological layer dating back 120,000 years. It's been found at the archaeological site in Izumo. According to a team of experts led by Professor Matsufuji of Doshisha University that has researched the Sunabara remains, the tools are tens of thousands of years older than any previously discovered. The existence of stone tools dating back to the early and mid-Paleolithic period in this country was thrown into question in 2000 when a former deputy director of the now disbanded Tohoku Paleolithic Institute buried stone tools and then later recovered them, claiming they were unearthed from 700,000-year-old archaeological remains. Archaeologists say the latest discoveries could change the way the era is studied. The tools are between 5.2 and 1.5 centimetres long and made of quartz or rhyolite. The age of the tools was determined by examining the volcanic ash layers just above them, which the tools were excavated from. A stone axe head dating back to the Neolithic age has been unearthed from Mampalikunam in Kollam district in India. The axe was discovered by local people in a paddy field at the foot of a hillock. Studies conducted by an archaeologist and researcher at the Department of History under the University of Kerala revealed it is a well-finished stone axe head dating back to the Neolithic. The axe head, measuring 6 inches in length and 3 inches in breadth, has an oval cross-section and was made by flaking, pecking and grinding. Now back to the Mediterranean and to Cyprus, where the Department of Antiquities of the Ministry of Communications and Works announced the completion of the archaeological excavations at the Neolithic site of Choirokoita. Excavations were carried out in July and August by the National Centre of Scientific Research of France under the direction of Dr. Le Brun. The aim of this research was to determine the outline of the walls which constituted the successive boundaries of the settlement. The results obtained have profoundly altered the view of the site and, more widely, the knowledge concerning the recent phase of the Neolithic IA ceramic period of Cyprus. Research of previous years has shown that the expansion of the built area on the south side occurred simultaneously with the abandonment of the north side. Therefore, the history of the settlement needed to be reconsidered. It must be reinterpreted as a rearrangement of the built environment rather than an expansion of the village. This year's archaeological campaign contested the idea concerning the way in which the site was inserted into space. The wall of which constitutes the limit of the establishment was found in a deep trench near the river. Initially it was thought that the course of the wall was perpendicular to the flow of the river, thus completing the natural protection of the river when it was absent. The new evidence has shown that the wall follows a parallel course in the bed of the River Maroni. Therefore the village has to be seen differently. As a village enclosed by a huge wall with an exterior facade revetted in stone means that the construction expresses a collective effort that supposes a strongly structured social organisation. Now back to Neolithic axe heads, and we have a report here from England. An amateur archaeologist, David Soanes, found an 8-inch long Neolithic axe head dating from around 4000 BCE while out using his metal detector near Norwich. Mr. Soanes has pledged to give it to the Norwich Castle Museum. He said he did not wish to reveal the exact location where he found the flint head, only that it was on the outskirts of Norwich. He said that I have never found anything as good as this before, and it was just lying there on the surface. A dealer had already offered him £400 for it, but he will rather donate it for nothing to the Castle Museum. He's already given several other items to the museum as well. Tim Pestle, curator of archaeology at Norwich Castle Museum, said that the whole collection at the museum is based upon the generosity of the citizens of Norwich in donating finds over the last 150 years. Mr. Soans does, if he does donate the item, it would be a continuation of that tradition, and they would be obviously very grateful to him, as would I. It's quite shocking that we have this idea that items are worth money and they're there to be sold off to the highest bidder. A Chilean family who was planning to remove the soil from their backyard of their home, where they were planning to do some construction, got a big surprise when they found four skeletons dating back from 320 BCE. The Valdez Navarro family found the relics of the Bato culture on Saturday in Concon, a municipality located 130 kilometres west of Santiago. Francesco Alendez, an archaeologist, historian and former director of the Concon Museum, said that locating the skeletons about 80 centimetres beneath the ground is a very important find because it serves to confirm the presence of the group in this area. The Bato society contained cultural elements of the early Alfarena communities and shared other characteristics with the early people of northern Chile and northwestern Argentina. Well, I don't know about you, but as soon as I'm finished with this, I'm going to go off and learn more about the Bato people and Alfarena people as well. It's one of the joys of actually doing the podcast news. You learn things that you never thought you would ever come across. Anyway, back to the news. And under the water, a Stone Age settlement from under the Solent, the stretch of sea separating the Isle of Wight from mainland England, is in danger of being lost forever. In a desperate race against time, marine archaeologists say the remains of a submerged Mesolithic community found at Boldner Cliff off Yarmouth could be lost to the sea if money is not found soon to continue vital excavation work. Archaeologists have found 24 timber pieces of all shapes and sizes intersecting throughout the underwater cliff. They're convinced that timber is evidence of a huge wooden structure built around 8,000 years ago by ancient Mesolithic people. Hundreds of ancient artifacts, including flint, charcoal, string, hazelnuts, and the remains of a logboat, have all been retrieved from the site since it was first found in 1998. Gary Momber, director of the Hampshire and Wight Trust for Maritime Archaeology, has been excavating the site for more than a decade and believes that the latest finds this summer are the most significant to date. Each piece of timber has very clear and distinct cut marks, so they know exactly how they've been worked on, and it looks like they form an elaborate framework, with the timber appearing to be linked together. It could be a collapsed structure or perhaps a platform built close to the waterway. Additional finds, including charcoal and burnt flint, suggest that this site could be one of the most oldest boat-building sites in the world. Mr. Momber said that the summer's three-day dive cost only £3,600, a sum covered by donations and grants. But as the erosion steadily sweeps away the site, it is a race against time before the ancient artifacts are lost completely to nature. They're appealing to local and national businesses to support the trust so it can launch a rescue excavation next year. The underwater site is the only one yet discovered in Britain and dates from when the sea level was 12 metres lower than it is today, when the Isle of Wight would have been much larger and the Solent was only a dry coastal valley. So there you go. If you have any money and if you have any idea of where you would like to spend it, then this would be one of the brilliant places to do it. Get in touch with them. Get in touch with Mr. Momber at the Hampshire and Wight Trust for Maritime Archaeology and see if you can sponsor next year's excavations. The discovery of a prehistoric irrigation system in the Marana Desert in Arizona, USA, is giving archaeologists a deeper glimpse into one of the first groups of people to farm in the Tucson Basin. This is perhaps the earliest sedentary village in the southwest, with people depending on agriculture as a primary food source, according to the project director Jim Vint. For more than 3,000 years, an elaborate ancient irrigation system has remained hidden deep beneath the sand in Marana. In January, excavations at the Pima County Regional Wastewater Reclamation Facility revealed the system, and it is said to be the most intricate of its type ever uncovered in North America. The team uncovered dozens of the fields, and in many instances we can actually see the holes where they planted the corn. The excavation by Desert Archaeology Inc. complies with state and county regulations requiring that a site be excavated before development of land that may contain historical artifacts. What the archaeologists found was more than they ever expected. Usually what people have found when digging in the floodplain is the main irrigation ditch that diverts water out the river. Here, however, they were finding whole field systems, also completely and intact underneath the... Sorry, that doesn't make sense at all. Completely intact underneath the floodplain sediment. The archaeologists have now discovered more than 200 individual maize fields and more than 170 canals of various sizes through six major layers of sediment. The most recent layer dates to around 800 BCE, and the lower sixth layer, which is 13 feet underground, dates to 1200 BCE. These layers, produced by the periodic flooding of the river, reveal the story of one of the first groups of people to recognise the enormous potential of the Santa Cruz River and agriculture. The archaeologists pointed out that we pay attention to the river intermittently when there are major flood events, but for them it was the lifeline throughout the entire period of the prehistoric. Now, I have two little extra things to add on to the end of this week's news. One is, of course, the testing of a new system by a group called Digital Past. It's called Open Archive, www.openarchive.co.uk. The intention of this is to try and gather reports which are currently not available online of local groups, and it's starting off in Scotland. So if you are in Scotland, you're a local group, and you have any reports, doesn't matter when they were written, then why not go along to www.openarchive.co.uk and see about uploading this report. They are desperate for feedback, and any ideas are gratefully received. The second bit of news is, I'm afraid, I am off to Croatia, to the island of Tres, to continue survey work there. So, yes, you've guessed it, I'm afraid you will have to hang on until probably the 19th of October, 19th or 20th of October, when the next archaeology news will be going online. That's as soon as I'm back from Croatia. Now, finally, I have to remind people of the many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities that you can get on Badger, www.bajr.org, and more can always be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. And remember, if you have any archaeological volunteer stories, get along to the Past Horizons website and perhaps share it with us. Thanks now, and goodbye.